Blog Talk Radio.
She's raising the bar, and you can just make a binge-a-thon weekend of all our shows right up to date. And even before She's Raising the Bar, you could find
I was always going to say the Bridal Body Shop.
The Bridal Body Shop, and you will
get... I think it changed automatically.
No, the old shows are still the Bridal, because I actually went through all of that, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Just to look.
The title doesn't matter, because it's still the two fabulous gals.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. And the fabulous gals are. Let me do the proper intros.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
There we go.
Lead Ziegelman is she.
Yeah.
Good. See, now you can't find
I found it.
Lori Towers is me. And together we make She's Raising the Bar.
Yep,
that's what we do every Wednesday. And it is the day before Thanksgiving. We hope that everybody has some wonderful plans for the holiday. And if you don't, that's okay, too. Just
You're
spend
lucky.
The day. You know, I was going to say, if you have an empty chair on your house, maybe you could fill it with somebody who isn't
put
lucky
the turkey
enough.
On it.
Oh, elite. Isn't lucky enough to have a place to go. But then I corrected myself, and I thought, you know, sometimes it's okay to be alone, and sometimes people don't want to be.
A friend of mine, I asked her today, I said, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. And she says, you know what, I don't want to be around anybody.
There you
so
go.
She's going to be by herself, she's going to rest.
And that's
sleep.
And that's it.
They were begging her to come out. Nope,
and you know
home.
Something, sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
God willing, we have plenty of holidays to be out and do what we want, and so you're entitled to a couple that you might say, you know.
It's a perfect rest day because everything basically is supposed to be closed, okay, and there's nowhere to go.
I know, and traffic is going to be.
It's a day of really peace.
I think it should be a day of reflection with friends, family, or even just by yourself.
Yeah.
Just take stock.
It's a day to do whichever you like to do.
And just think about maybe the things that you should be thankful for, because we have more to be thankful for than not, believe it or not.
We sure do.
We certainly do. And that's, I mean, just, we are. So that's enough reason to be thanks. Everything else we could take care of. But we're here, and it's up to us to make our own joy and our own structure to the lives that we want. So today, first, let me ask you, I don't want to be rude and just fluff over everything that might be important to you, my darling.
Mm-hmm.
Anything new in your life that you want to talk about?
No. It's been really quiet, thank God.
Don't you have an event coming up where you're going to be selling your prints?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
December
10th.
Is it the Methodist? The Methodist
Church.
Church Hall?
Yeah, Church Hall.
Church Hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, the December 10th,
mm-hmm.
I'll be having all my prints on display.
You know what? This is the time. Yes. People don't realize pictures make wonderful gifts.
Oh, they dress up a wall. They make you happy. Just looking at a picture brings
and
you back.
And if you know of something in particular that somebody likes, say, the Ferris wheel Coney Island or the cycle or something that means something to you or maybe a shared memory, perfect thing is a picture.
For sure.
And you know what?
Sure.
It always fits. It really always fits. And if you don't like the frame, you get another frame.
Right.
But There's nothing like it. And you could come by. We'll give the address and everything as we come closer
to the event.
But I will be there, too.
Yeah.
I will be like a carnival barker. I have nothing to do with this, but I will be there pulling the people in, doing my dance of the seven veils, get people at her table and buying the prints.
You got
it. And that's good. And this is the time to start thinking about the holidays.
For sure. I mean, it's good. Look how fast Thanksgiving crept up on us.
You know something? It seems like it was just yesterday we were saying how hot it was
mm-hmm.
and how we like it.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's the end of November already.
And what are you doing for the 4th of July? And da-da-da-da-da. And here we are. Here we are at the end of November. And you know what's the door swings both ways on what I'm going to say. The beauty of the shows that we're having in our roundtable discussions that we're having, and it's going to be our very own Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, and Mirav Levary. She's coming on today, and usually we rotate Winter and her in and out, Winter Gabriel. But the beauty of what's going on in the world is there is a constant dialogue that we put on the table for the roundtable. Because at one time, remember, we try to have some sort of theme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with everything that's going on in the news, and for crying out loud, I watch
all we
the
have
news,
to do is just get four women together and just tell, you know, talk.
And every day there's something. You know what the saddest part was, and we're gonna go over this with our guests. With everything that's going on since the whole Weinstein incident, I think it was just, 4 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
It just opened up a Pandora's box to women
getting
coming
out of
forward.
Control, though. I mean,
but you know what the beautiful thing is?
There's going to be no men left in Hollywood.
You know, I was thinking the other day, there have to be men that are just, even if they're innocent, they're probably double thinking, what did I do? Backtracking, okay, did I ever do anything? Did I ever say this? Did she take this the wrong way? Mm-hmm. Everybody is living their lives.
I want to, before they come on, I just wanted to bring this up.
Go ahead.
I was listening to Howard Stern the other day,
mm-hmm.
and he had Jon Stewart on.
Mm.
And Jon Stewart was good friends with Harvey Weinstein.
Mm.
And he goes, you know, they were talking and saying that he was just as guilty as him because he knew what was happening, but he never said anything.
Okay.
You know,
it's,
so I'm sure all the men know what's happening, even if they didn't do anything, because they're just, you know, they're buddies, you know, they have to be cool.
Sins of omission. Yeah,
yeah,
that's exactly right.
So it was just like horrible. And he felt horrible. He goes, you know, I knew about all this, but there's nothing really you can do, you know. Well, what is he going to do? He's going to step forward and say,
something? We addressed this the last roundtable and there are a lot of good men out there.
Mm-hmm.
That are horrified and repulsed by all this behavior. And they've been saying, well, what can we do? This is horrible. I never realized this was going on. What can we do? Okay, don't co-sign it. When you see somebody doing something, speak up.
Yeah.
When you know something doesn't feel right or...
Well, confront the person.
Say it.
Confront the person and say, you're not doing this the right way. You're not doing this. It's not right.
Yeah, or you can't speak to her that way. Or you
right,
can't.
Or you shouldn't do this.
This is what you need to do. And women also. Women, I mean, for every 5 women that are aggressively, addressing this, there are still 20 that aren't.
I'm sure.
So
I'm
we
sure.
have to get the women to say whatever they have to say. Or if you're with somebody.
But is it good for the, I'm so happy that they're standing up for themselves, but... Now it looks like boy crowd wolf. You know, somebody says something and then everybody's got to say something. Why did everybody hold back?
Think about this, though. HR, in an office environment,
mm-hmm.
HR still is not friendly to this.
Right.
They still make the women feel like they're, they're the pariahs. They're the ones that are wrong.
Right.
They blame the victim. Society has always done that. So what's happening now is women feel safe to come out, so they are.
Right.
It's not, look, all of this is not happening more now than it ever has. Women are coming forward because now they feel
there's
a safe climate
right.
to do so. And that's why. And, you know, when people say, well, you know, every woman can't be, you know, maybe there are women out there, and it's a very, very, very small amount. that would misread, that would misinterpret, and might want to punish somebody out of maybe feeling rejected. But for Christ's sake, the majority of the women that are coming forward publicly and having their lives dissected and having their family uprooted by this emotionally, they're not going to make this up, because they are going, why would you do that to yourself and your family? So when people say, why should I believe the women? Because of what they have to go through to get their points across.
Yeah.
Because what they have to do publicly, the shame, the embarrassment, the going through,
factor.
Yeah, the going through all the events that may have caused them shame again and again and again. And that's why when I was hearing some Republicans and some conservatives saying, I believe the women, I said, well, thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, think about morality over your party, because that's really what it is. It's just, there's, why would you lie?
Well, there's humans behind the party.
Well, the whole thing is, you should be able to think as a human being and not, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
But see, that's not, and it doesn't always happen when it comes to women. Women have always been the underclass and the underserved and bare feet and pregnant and just in the kitchen and didn't have a voice and yada, yada, yada. So this is what created the problem we have today. So now we have to probably be a little stricter and probably just make as much commotion as we need to about this. And then in time, ease up. You know, you gun it and then you kind of ease up on the gas a little bit, because this is what we need to do now. And again, any of the men who are listening, we are not saying, we before everybody else know, there are so many good men out there.
Oh, yeah.
So many moral, sweet, would never do this. But there are many that think they are entitled to.
Yeah.
So,
and most of them are high in power.
Yeah. And this is exactly what I'm saying. But, you know, I went to the New York Historical Society this weekend, and they had a wonderful exhibit on women and the right to vote and the women's emancipation and so on and so forth. It was a great, I think the best part of the entire event, I mean, they had a wonderful little movie, and Meryl Streep was, We Rise, was narrating it, and it was wonderful. But I think what I took away from the whole event, there were a lot of men there. I would say it was a 50-50 split, and I saw, and I always get touched by this, men with their little girls.
Oh, that's
the wives weren't
beautiful.
There. The men, I saw so many men, and you know, only in New York, and the men were so just taking their time and explaining everything to the little girls, 7 years old, and just like showing them this and informing their daughters. And that is what, it's a man's job to inform his daughters. And let, you know, and give the daughter the security of seeing.
Oh,
there are
sure.
wonderful men
yeah,
out there
of
that
course.
Would never do this, and a wonderful man is teaching you this.
Mm-hmm. And having a good daddy really makes it.
A world of difference.
It makes the daughter
yeah.
so proud and so much self-esteem.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, even with that, sometimes a daughter could have a wonderful father, and then all of a sudden you go out and you see, yeah, there are wolves in the hen house. So, so anyway, but we're going to be discussing that and more with our guests who are all on board.
I'm going to bring them all
bring
on.
Them, bring
so get
them,
ready,
well,
girl.
Bring them one at a time and let them, and we'll see who they are.
Who is this?
Hey, it's Patty.
Patty,
Patricia
welcome.
Martin, welcome aboard.
All
hello,
right, let me...
thank you. Wonderful to be back with you guys.
Always, Patty.
Pleasure.
Always. Next
love you.
Up.
This is gonna be Nancy.
Hi, Nancy's on.
That's my Nancy
hi, everybody.
Girl.
Hi.
Girl. How are you, doll?
Welcome.
Welcome to the show, Nancy. And next, obviously, who's this gonna be? Next one up.
Bonjour.
Well, bonjour. Yeah.
There she is. We're all on deck. Hello, ladies. Happy pre-Thanksgiving to everybody.
Hi, oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. I don't know if any of you were listening to the show before you guys came on, but I was saying, and I think I said to each of you individually, the show now, the roundtables just write themselves, because there is just so much material out there now with for the past 6 weeks, and
especially us being women.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying with the whole Weinstein thing opening up, you know what bothered me the most and I think everybody probably would feel the same way. As we're watching the assembly line of men that are being accused and coming forward, you know, you're like kind of smirking because it's always the other side, and it's always the conservatives that have said this and that, and we're like, yeah, 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 good, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine said to me the other day, did you hear about Charlie Rose? And I quickly did the math in my head because I thought she was going to tell me he died. And I'm thinking, well, he's probably maybe in his late 60s, early 70s.
I would have never thought.
And they said, and you know, just the fact that it was a progressive that did this is horrendous enough. But it's how. It's just, it was just this blatant, and everything that I heard got me, I mean, of course, Al Franken, and I felt horrible because, again, I think a good man. But, and you just hear this over and over, and you just think of where it's going to stop. I mean, have we hit the bottom with this? I didn't hear that.
Jeffrey Tambor.
I had not.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, 2 days ago. Nobody heard of that?
No, I didn't hear who.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh, my God.
So now they're debating whether to cancel his Amazon series, Transparent.
Oh, my God.
Which is my favorite show.
Do you know,
this,
this
is only the tip of the iceberg.
I know. Exactly. I know.
True, but yeah. I actually, after I heard about Charlie Rose, I basically got into the conclusion that it's all about culture. It's a culture thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a culture. It's not about being good or bad or like it's the culture.
It could be any man because
yes, exactly.
It's about I think men in power. That's what it's boiling down to. I watch Charlie Rose every single day. I watch CBS every single morning, and I was so blown away. In my mind, I thought he was this, you know, he's brilliant and intelligent and well-spoken. And I thought, then no way.
Yeah.
I was really blown away by that. The others you could kind of guess. But Charlie Rose, that blew me away for sure.
Yeah. What is it?
This is the whole thing. Now, we're seeing people being fired. We're seeing shows being canceled. We're seeing all of that. And yes, a Republican can be a pedophile and still run for election. And, you know, I hate to say this, and God forbid, he still might win. And that's the problem here. This man was banned from malls. Do you know what it takes to be banned from a mall? I would like to see what exactly were the features in him being, was he physically aggressive? Was he just...
I think he was spewing curses and racism, quotes and stuff like that, and that's why he got thrown out of the mall.
But this is what I'm saying. Okay, he was a dick. But this is a man who called up high schools to date. I mean, and people are saying, well, you know what? He was a man of God, and we're going to stand by him. It's like, well, I don't know. I think the God that I know would really not approve of any man who's 32 at that time dating a 14-year-old doesn't happen.
No.
Just my opinion.
No, it's really...
We take it back to the president, who is also a pedophile, okay? And also...
Okay, but...
Disgraces women.
Okay, but now think about this. This was our foreshadowing of things to come. When that, what was it, Entertainment Tonight? What was that thing that came out with Billy Bush?
Billy Bush,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, Billy Bush got fired.
Yeah.
For...
And he became president.
Right. He got fired for, and again, I'm not pinning any roses on that guy, you know, for going along with and thinking it's cool and laughing.
Trying to do is put him down and try him not to get him into office, is what he was trying to do.
Well...
But it didn't work.
It
backfired on him, and he got fired.
But see, this is what I'm saying. And Mirav was saying, we're a culture that allows this.
Mm-hmm.
We are allow some to continue running for a seat, and he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
There's an element of privilege here
that is
really a bad underbelly, because I don't think it's just men of power. I think it's a type of man who goes you know, thinks for whatever reason he's entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe perhaps there's more of them in authority positions, but basically it could be any man. It could be your neighbor. It could be the guy who delivers your mail.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a certain level of privilege that's given to people who have more power, more money, more whatever.
Right.
And it makes it very indiscriminate.
But they even admit it. They
release their demons.
But
Charlie Rose even admitted it, and a lot of them did admit it. They were in this position where they had the position, and you know, and women were afraid that they would lose their jobs, that if they said anything, that this would happen, and they would lose their job, and they wouldn't be able to feed their family, blah blah blah. So this is what it comes down to. They were afraid to say something because of who he is. And, you know, and they don't want to lose their job, too. You know, it's all about that. Or all the girls that got Weinstein and Tobin, you know.
Any workplace. I mean, as I mentioned the last show, I had not one, not two, but three married bosses hit upon me, try to kiss me, proposition me. And I, you know, dealt with it, but I was loath to, like, you know, do anything beyond cut that out. No way, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think that there's a certain, I mean, even with, you know, in the rape victim culture, there's always been that element of blame and shame and people thinking, you know, 16 times, should I go forward with this?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, the first thing they ask is, what, you know, they always say, well, why were you in that neighborhood then? What were you wearing?
Right, exactly.
You should be able to walk wherever you want, wear whatever you want, and assume that our male counterparts will be civil human beings.
Without getting questions about
it. Yeah, but that's the whole thing. That posting on Facebook that I love is, we teach our daughters how not to be raped, but we don't teach our sons how not to rape. And that's really it. You know, it's... But you know what I find to be amazing, and I wonder how this is going to affect it. I mean, when we think about the position of power, and it's either the office or a hospital, whatever, so many marriages have come from a boss marrying his secretary, a doctor marrying his nurse.
Secretary.
Now, there are a lot of decent, moral men out there that now are faced with, if they find somebody attractive, and they honestly would never put pressure on them, they would never take their job away, they just want to date an employee. You wonder how this going to change the face of office dating or anything on that level, or will there have to be some sort of a man not making a move without a contract? Because, I mean, at this point, any man who's in the position of power and just wants to ask somebody out, maybe fell in love with somebody and just really wants to do it the right way, has got to be scared to make a move. Because
there's always been in practice with some companies, too, a agreement.
You can't,
the larger companies, you know, no fraternizing among the coworkers.
Yeah.
But that can't be enforced in every place. But
no,
on the flip side, I know some very decent men who are shocked and appalled as we are, and one of them is, you know, pretty much retired, could be retired, but was substitute teaching in high school, and he decided not to go back to substitute teaching because of the potential for being called out for doing something inappropriate that was not the case or is not the case.
Well, mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's just not worth it.
It's just not worth it. Yeah, there was. I listened to NPR almost every day, and there was a conversation about. I love these guys on NPR. It's out of Boston, but they're just incredible. But one of the points was that a gentleman called in. He said, "I don't even know if I can tell a woman that her hair looks good or that dress looks nice on you anymore." And the commentator on NPR said, well, if you don't know that, then there's something really wrong with you. If you can't figure out what's the appropriate thing to say and what not is, you know, what's inappropriate to say, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, we know the difference. Women know the difference. When someone's saying something generally nice And they're looking at you and saying, you know, you really look nice. And they're not looking elsewhere or looking up and down. We know the difference between a compliment and a leer. We know the difference between someone who is being, you know, sexually aggressive with us and someone who is just like, you know, a light come on. We know the difference.
But when you add, like, young students to the equation, there's a whole other arena. Like, I heard of a few years ago, a teacher who was accused of inappropriate behavior with two of his students, and it turned out that they were pissed at him for their grades and, you know, did it on purpose. So, I mean, it's a tender area. When you're an adult, it's one thing, but when you have minors with adults, it's a whole other arena.
Yeah. And they will always believe the minor in schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can't even, I mean, at the school is down south, you know, as of, you know, a couple of years ago, you can't even escort a young woman you think is dressed inappropriately to the principal's office. It has to be done by a female teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how tightened down they had become. And not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it does, you know, they felt like it was necessary, but it just shows the culture and how things are, you know, the damage control is literally tying people's hands in some ways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think for the next, I don't know how many years, we're going to have to keep pushing the way we are. And I have to say, I'm applauding the women that are coming forward. And since last January, we have had such aggressive energy behind us. And we're pushing because we know there's a lot at stake. We have to keep doing this even when we don't have a lot at stake, because eventually all of this, eventually he will be gone. We will have less of a threat against our reproductive organs, against our choice to marry who we want. We will have less of that. But we have to realize we're always a sneeze away from things being taken away from us. So we got to keep pushing.
Yeah. Yeah, but
right,
listen,
you can't relax
whatever,
guard.
Right.
Whatever happened to all the women that pressed charges against Trump? I want to know, where did that go?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
I am sure
that
they
just
got paid off.
Of course they did.
They got paid off
really pisses me off. I mean, that what, just suddenly disappeared?
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
right.
And they keep replaying the tracks from, you know, him and his Winnebago coming out of the Winnebago. They've just repeated it the other day after the Charlie Rose thing.
Yep,
I mean, what's that's just insane to me. Of course they got paid off. This
of course
is
they did.
I want to know where our ethics are.
And that's
where
blood
are
money.
Ethics?
That's blood money. Well, let's be serious. Our ethics are in the powers, in the hands of the people that control the country. And it's still always going to be white males. And that's the unfortunate part. But there are now, we are suddenly having people listen. And again, when I heard some staunch conservatives that I've had policy issues with forever coming forward and saying, you know something, we have to stand by the women. They can't be lying. Then I say we're actually breaking some ground here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But by the same token, you have like that guy, the head of, you know, Pixar and stuff, calling his behavior missteps as a leader. It's like, what kind of spin is that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a total denial of anything that was like completely, you know, it's a misstep.
misstep.
No,
well, I don't know if anybody heard Trump last night. He said there was one really aggressive reporter in the audience saying, well, so you're going to run alongside a pedophile? Is a pedophile? Being a pedophile is better than being a Democrat? Is that what you're saying?
Wow,
he goes, I think women are special. I think women are very special. And I think Trump is saying this. And I'm thinking, he doesn't even know how to speak. Women are very special.
I know.
And I'm glad all this is happening. Okay.
He's such a fucking idiot. Sorry.
No, that's fine. We're fine. And I'm looking at him and just saying, this is the best we could do. This is the best that we thought this country could do. You know what's so sad is that so many women love him. They love him.
I,
it's just amazing how much women, they really love him.
I know, and I don't want to turn anybody off by saying this, and I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I don't know any women, thankfully, that like
him.
I'm
just saying it's the posts that I see that's on his page.
But you know something?
These women that I, who knows where they're from, but they love him. We love you, Donald. We love you. Keep doing your good job. I don't know who these women are.
What,
I just love to read the comic.
I don't think it's because they don't know better. I don't think they're really politically involved. I think
they're
it's
not.
Really
they
how
have no
they
idea
raise.
What's happening.
I think it's the way, you know, this is how they raise, this is what they know, and that's it.
And I think
you know,
they really
not,
hate the media.
Yeah.
And whatever the media does, they're going to go the opposite.
Well, they're just following his lead, you know, and I have to say they're just not very bright people.
No,
that,
no.
Those women that have voted for him, obviously. But the funny thing is that Ivanka, now they're in a dispute because
mm-hmm.
Ivanka's standing up for the women.
Absolutely.
From what I've,
yeah.
And now
yeah.
those two, I mean, you know, think
yeah.
about that.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how the split is going to happen. I mean, he can't go again. I mean, I think for even if I think it's something that's a little, you know, unseemly, he's got a very, very, very close relationship with his daughter. Again, I say,
yeah.
I question
yeah.
it, but that is the only thing I think that he values as a human being, is his daughter. Now, it's going to be interesting to see the seams pulling apart because she's not going to move from this side. So he's going to have to slowly move over to
yep.
that side, and it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to do it.
Yep.
Going to have to.
I think I agree with you on that.
Going to have to. But
no.
I want to see what's going to happen with that, with the election. I mean, and
yes.
I was watching, and I knew the women that were going to be standing behind more. I knew exactly what they were going to look like. I was even saying to you, Ali, they were Bible thumpers. They had their hair piled up to
yeah.
the sky, and you know, God bless them. They probably really feel they're doing the right thing. And they just we just know he's a good man and he's standing with God and blah blah blah. And,
those are the ones that say, you know, they go to the home to their husband. Yes, you know, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, dear,
of
yes,
course.
Dear, yes,
well,
dear, yes, dear.
But see, you know, when and it might be something of the South where you know people could marry at 16. Okay, that might you know what when people got married at 16 is when we were living till 40. You're talking about dating a child. For all intents and purposes, 16, you're not old enough, I don't think, to be having a baby.
No.
You shouldn't be driving, so you shouldn't be carrying a life, and you really should not be acting like an adult because you're really not there yet. So
right.
any 32-year-old that thinks a 14-year-old is attractive, I kind of question why. Yeah. You know, 18, okay, I still think that's not a good thing, but 14, that's a big problem.
Well, it's a huge problem. It's a pedophile. It's
yeah.
huge.
And you know, and I was saying all week, well, why don't we find a way? I mean, there's got to be some charges. I mean, not letting him get a seat is the least of it.
Right.
You know, there's something that happens in jail to pedophiles that I feel they deserve. And that's
oh,
like,
yeah.
when you're a pedophile, you're in jail. Forget it.
Forget
it. You're gone.
Forget it.
You're gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said he was harassing teenagers, that
sure.
he was like, you know, they were keeping an eye out at the schools because he was focusing on cheerleaders. And that's, you know, that's pretty blatant. I mean, as blatant as it gets.
Yeah. What is his wife doing? Just sitting by his side? I mean,
absolutely.
Please.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like all of the wives that, you know, now see what's really interesting. And another person I was terribly disappointed in, Anthony Weiner. Terribly disappointed
yeah.
because really he was such a progressive minded person. He really had so many good things going for him. Now,
yeah.
what is his sentence? He's in jail now or about to go into
yeah,
jail?
Yeah, he's in jail.
Okay.
He
got punished and how many people are walking?
Right.
He got punished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
yeah.
not saying he didn't deserve it. Believe me, I'm not saying that. But
didn't he have a relapse or something? Didn't he get
yes.
released
yeah,
and then...
He had a relapse. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got this
yeah.
deviant streak.
Yeah. That, like I said, I was so upset because he really, I mean, I was really behind his politics. He's such a really, really decent human being. But he, and again, everything he did, if he was doing that with my daughter, believe me, he'd be my little sock puppet. but he didn't touch anybody. This was bad.
No, this was all texting.
But Moore, you know, actually took young women's heads and put them in his crotch. So,
but the thing I think that's why he's in jail now is because it is all on text.
It's on,
it is all
yeah.
on
it's
video.
A lot of proof.
It's right in front of your face. Whereas,
yeah.
you know, the guy from Alabama, forgive me, I forgot his name. It's off my head.
Moore.
Yeah, but with him, you know, it's almost a she said he said. You know, there's
right.
not this real, you know,
graphic
sort of information.
Evidence.
Yes. That they can really pin it on him. That's the problem, you know. That's
you know,
the big problem, I think,
with
that.
There's got to be something to slow the wheels down, though. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and I understand innocent until proven guilty. Of course. Believe me, our country runs on that, so I'm not going to go against it. But there's got to be something to slow this guy's – because enough women came forward that you know it's not just one of these
right.
random – so we have to do something to make it a punishable crime. We have to do
yeah.
something, and we have to figure it out soon.
Yeah.
And the lengths that some of them went, that Weinstein went to, were, like, unbelievable. I mean,
yeah.
just the lengths to, like, you know, spy and discredit the victims was just insane.
Yeah.
You know what I think is, and this would be a really good other show, Elite, about groupies. Now, groupies for large amounts, I think the only ones that we've ever seen are female groupies. There are always women that are willing to give whatever to a rock star, a politician, anybody
what?
Who's got, look, power and fame, seductive. They're aphrodisiacs.
Even Charlie Manson had groupies.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's a different. Excuse me, but there's a difference between giving and taking.
Right, but what I'm
the
no,
ladies
what I'm,
chose to give it to yeah. them, and here you have men that actually taking without getting permission.
No,
without permission.
No, but my point was, with all of that available, celebrities don't have to go too far. You don't have to corner somebody that's not interested.
Well,
there
the groupies
so many.
Don't look good.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, Elise.
Well, you've seen the groupies.
Well, which groupies?
Whatever groupies are. The groupies are never good looking.
But there are sex is readily. I don't know where Elite is going screening groupies. I don't know what she does when she's not with me. But clearly,
but I'm just saying
it's,
general, it's also an aphrodisiac to pick who you want
to
sleep with. You know what I'm saying?
What
yeah.
I'm
and the groupies
is,
aren't who they want to sleep with.
No,
but they know they want to sleep with them.
But you know, when we were talking to Susan,
right,
Goldman,
and it makes them cheap. It makes them
right,
cheap.
Exactly.
But see, the thing is, you have a readily available sexual menu when you have power. You
mm-hmm.
you do.
Of course.
So I mean, it's you don't
they
have.
They want the daily special. They don't want what's on the menu.
Right.
It's a shame.
It's the truth. They want to pick
yeah.
what they want to pick.
But
yeah.
see, now that would be an interesting. I want you to write that down, and we'll keep it on as a topic.
They
want
to pick what they
want to
pick.
No. Why are groupies almost always female? Isn't that interesting? There's got to be some psychodynamic to that. Why are groupies always female?
Are they though?
I pretty
yeah, but but Lori, think about that. I mean, it depends on who's performing. I mean, if
right.
it's an all-man rock band, but if it's
well,
Carole
right.
King,
yeah, I know, but
I'm
just saying. But I don't. I mean,
yeah.
all-girl bands, you never see.
But look at Madonna or Barbra Streisand. They're all the gay men. They're all men.
Yeah, but they can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are groupies, though.
Yeah, but then
they follow
groupies.
Them everywhere and then they imitate them.
But Elite Ziegler, talking about sexual groupies.
Believe me, they'll sleep with them if they could.
I don't know what Elite's doing. Well, I don't know what homework Elite's done on groupies, but apparently it's extensive. Jesus, Louise. But you know what would be a good time? I know Patty's got something that's empowering that maybe we could infuse here.
Mm.
What do you
okay.
think, Patty?
Sure. It's a poem based on a story that a woman I know who does healing work told me, and I went off on a fantasy, and basically she was working with a client who during the session had a recollection of a traumatic experience, and it was the beginning of her healing. So I just kind of took that and ran with the image that she gave me, and it's called Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene, gods and goddesses watched. They watched as she pulled the sword out from her back and held it up to the sky. Excalibur, from the deep recesses of flesh that long denied a memory too hot to hold, a memory that burned and scorched the waking cells in her heart, scorched the waking cells in her heart and in her brain, and in the very depths of her soul, a memory of love that felt more like pain. The love felt like pain as she's learning to love herself. She's learning to love herself. She's loving herself now. And the curve of her back and the curve of her lips and the curve of her hips and belly as they rose and fell with the heat of her breath. They rose and fell on the night when the clouds raced across the moon to see which would collide with the horizon. Clouds racing across the horizon while Mary Magdalene combed her hair and prepared the oil to wash her beloved's feet.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
You know, it's all about us fortifying ourselves, and that's really it, and allowing the scars to heal. And I think that's the one thing that's happening with this whole movement. Is,
sure, the release and bringing things to light,
yeah,
is what heals it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the you know, it's just like it's become in a way this whole. This whole purging of the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too, it's become this universal support group, which,
yeah,
I think it's wonderful by design, because everybody who has been a victim of a predator always feels like, you know, you isolate because you can't really talk to anybody about it. Maybe a very good friend, maybe God willing, you have a parent that could be. You always feel like it's just you. And then you just see there are thousands and millions of people that share your shame, your,
yeah,
hurt, your whatever,
yeah,
you're feeling. And I think
it is
that,
the sharing. And when,
yeah,
you see the Me Too, Me Too, Me Too, I mean, it's like that poem I did, Secrets Way. It's the sharing. Women talk, and we need to talk. And,
mm-hmm,
that's where the healing's going to come from.
Yeah. And that's, and you, like, and there's still so many, I think, that, except for every 200 women that come forward, there are still 2,000 that don't feel, you know, that it's the right environment to.
I can honestly say there's not a single woman I know that I've broached the subject with who,
mm-hmm,
does not have a story.
Wow.
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, there's one woman I said, well, did you ever? And she's like, oh, are you kidding? Of course. I mean, it's almost like,
wow,
duh, you know, we're women, it happened, you know, and that's,
yeah,
got to, you know, that's very telling that it's legion, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's become part of our dynamic. It's, you know, like we were saying last time, the socially accepted forms of harassment, starting with the cattle calls on the street and everything. This is what we've accepted. And if you even look at old movies, you watch, you know, these guys, if they're watching a woman with a tight skirt saying, "Hey, goily," making the kiss noise.
Right.
It's always been,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
it was accepted. Though.
It was accepted. You know, because maybe the men didn't think they were hurting the women and making them, but they didn't.
And the women loved it. They blushed, and they smiled,
well,
and they winked.
You know, I don't know. I mean, some might have liked it, but some might have felt very uncomfortable. The point is, nobody asked if it was okay. No one asked the woman, so we never got a vote on it. So we just accepted it and moved on, and that was part of our daily lives. And, you know, that expression that I think is the most damning expression, boys will be boys, that's the worst thing. Wipe that right out. Because, no, it doesn't have to be. Boys will be boys. You know men. No. Why? And I think that's what we're doing now, is the best question we could ask is why.
Yeah, I think,
yeah,
we were writing this phrase.
Yes. Yeah.
What,
know,
did you say, Marav? I didn't hear you.
That I believe that we are rewriting
this phrase of boys will be boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And slowly.
And Lori, you know, you have a very good point there, which it came to my mind exactly when you said it about, you know, the old movies and old TV shows. And it is exactly, it's been in our culture for so many years, for so long. I mean, I remember when my dad was in the Kennedy campaign, and I'm sure that was went on. I mean, who's going to say boo if, you know, one of the Kennedy tribe, who I'm... I totally admire the whole family, but still, you know, think about that. That's way back, way back.
Well, that's exactly. And look, you know, I was a big fan of the Kennedys, but you can't say there were flawed actions. I mean, they did wonderful things, and they were certainly public servants, without a doubt. They did more good than bad. But, yeah. Were there.
And Martin Luther King.
Absolutely.
I mean, Martin Luther King has been, you know, supposedly was a supreme womanizer. But because of his, you know, his standing and status and what he did do, it was like kind of just accepted that that was part of the package.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always think, in a way, when you're married to any type of celebrity, or anybody who's a politician, monogamy might not be paramount in your relationship. So as long as the spouse, you have a contract with your spouse, maybe you won't humiliate them or you won't get somebody pregnant.
Right,
that's
right.
Between the two partners. I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
You could run my country and have a mistress on the side. This has happened in Europe. I'm not going to hold you accountable. I'm my own moral barometer. Run my country.
Right.
You know,
I agree with that completely.
That's the way I see it. But it was interesting that we were at an event about a month ago, Elite and I, and I was talking to people that were semi-defending Trump, and they were throwing out, well, you know, what about Kennedy? What about Clinton? What about this? You know, talking about womanizing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was there. But there was never a public
humiliation.
And I don't think it was ever perpetrated, you know. It was willing, you know. It wasn't like somebody you know, there's no reports of being foisted, you know, having somebody foist themselves upon them. It was more like, yeah, I'll go for it with you, you know.
Go ahead, and wasn't that the case with Clinton and Monica? Refresh my memory on that.
Yes. I mean, she was an intern that was certainly head over heels in love with him. Clearly,
she had told friends that it was her aim to get it on with the president.
I'm sure. Yeah. So I think that is a whole different. That's a
Absolutely.
Whole different thing. I think.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. That's
now,
a whole
here's the
different.
Thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. This guy. Who was a coach, a physician rather, he just pleaded guilty to 7 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct, and some of them with underage girls.
Yeah.
And he was in a position of, you know, being a healer with these women, taking care of them. It says here, I think 125 accusers. And
that's the Olympic coach.
Yeah, and his quote is, I'm sorry that this was like a match that turned into a forest fire out of control. It's like, what? It's almost like he disavowed any responsibility. It's like, oops, you know, it happened. It got out of control. It was like it happened to that he was like a victim of his own behavior, which is wrong.
Do you know what he did? He actually did internal, he stuck his fingers up their vaginas and said that he was fixing their muscular issues. This is what he did. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah.
Yes, this is exactly what he did.
He was fixing
their pelvic
wall.
Every one of these girls on the Olympic team, because the young girl from New Jersey wrote the book and about this. It's insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
And they were afraid to talk because he's the Olympic coach. So what are they going to do? They thought it was right.
Exactly.
And there was no parent in the room with them.
Of course
they're
not.
They're 15, 14, and they're going into the room with the doctor. And they, of course, the kids are told, this is a doctor. You can trust
the
doctor.
And no nurse. Usually they're supposed to be.
Right.
Yes.
They have to be a nurse.
Yes. Always a nurse.
This is over 130 young girls. That's
Well, that guy will be ripped apart in jail.
Oh, forget it.
That's sickening. Oh my gosh.
And who was it? There was someone who came. Oh, what's her name? Diana Nyack. She's an Olympic swimmer.
Yes, she came forward,
and I put it on a wall too, honey. I put it on a wall, and that's exactly what happened to her. And it's always at the hands of coaches who are, and not say all coaches are wonderful people that devote their lives to, you know, whoever they're helping. But, yeah, you know, after hours, and then he still came on to her 10 years after that. You know, she walked away from him 10 years ago, lived in shame, and when he saw her 10 years after that, he jumped on her.
Yeah, but this happened to me, and I forgot, I don't know if I've told you guys, maybe I have, but this happened to me in rehab, when I was in rehab. And one of my therapists, you know, was always he's a great therapist in-house. But then, you know, he invited me to his house in Vermont or something. And I didn't think anything of it. And I was young, 21, and he probably was in his 40s. And he just basically raped me there. I don't know how I got out of the house.
Oh.
And I got on a plane and got out of there. But this is because he was a man you know, he was my therapist. I trusted, I believed him, you know. I think I was 21 or something. I mean, definitely. But I didn't know. I thought I was just going, you know, I had just so naive. And I trusted the guy. He was my therapist.
Right.
And this is what happened. And I got out of there so fast. I don't know how I did, but I did. I managed.
Oh, thank you.
I called a taxi to the airport. But then again, it's somebody that you trust, man, power, you know, it's all that.
I think there's a mailbox in hell for somebody who does that, because it's emotional rape. I mean, you're inside this person's head. You're their therapist.
Right.
I think
violation
degrees
supreme.
More wrong of, than doing that and being a swim coach and doing that.
So true.
Somebody, you know their weakness because you're inside their head. I think that is just such a horrible thing. Obviously, you never said anything. You never reported him to the board, right?
No, because you know what? I just didn't do it. I thought, oh, God, just let me get out of here and move on with my life, you know. So,
oh, my God.
No, and when you're – so the thing is also I was young. You know, I was newly in New York.
Sure.
And, you know, you don't – I didn't think to tell on the therapist. It didn't even cross my mind. And I think that was just something of that time, you know, being young in the 80s in New York and stuff. I think it was just a time, you know, that was the time, you know, if somebody inappropriately touched you, just say, oh, well, okay, so what, move on. I don't know what to say.
Did you ever see him again professionally or no, obviously?
No, I was out. He was at some facility, I forget which one it was, but you know, and at the same time that Toback did the same thing that he did to 300 other women with me in Central Park, which I think I told you guys
about.
I had to add to that,
when I was going to a marriage counselor with my first husband and I, we would go separately and then together, you know, him, me, and us. And, you know, the marriage counselor hit on me during our one. I mean, yeah, it's just such a, I mean, breach of.
Oh, my God, it's an ethical breach, yes.
It's just,
yeah, but see, again,
but,
they
I mean, that wasn't
have
that,
you.
But it was still, evidence of their using their
power.
Yes.
The power.
And especially when they're in your head, Patty.
They're in your head, and then they.
They know what's going on through you. You know, it's just bizarre. It's just
they're supposed to be there to help you, and then they, you know, they prey on you.
Well, because they have their own issues.
That's exactly. Yeah. Well, a lot of people that go into the field of therapy have a lot of issues that they're exploring, and they're fascinated them, and they go into the field.
That's what they call it. They call that earn while you learn.
That's exactly it. That's exactly right.
I know.
But
at other people's expenses, no.
But you know what? See, I'm looking at it from the other point. If I were a therapist and I found myself attracted to somebody, I would come forward and say, you know something? I don't think I could treat you anymore because of my feelings. Mm-hmm. And if,
but that's because you have integrity.
Well,
a lot of people don't have that.
But, and I would say, and I'm going to refer to somebody else, I'd like to go out with you if you think that you'd like to take some time. But, I mean, that's the way to do it if you find yourself attracted to somebody and you can't, you know, you really can't hold back anymore. That's the right way to do it.
Right, you back away.
Of course that's the, yeah,
away.
But of course that's the right way to do it. But then, you know, it rarely happens, I would think. I don't know, but.
What a shame. What
yeah.
an absolute shame.
Oh, that's terrible, yeah. Nancy. I'm so sorry you
I'm
went
so
through
sorry.
That.
Yeah, I never heard
oh,
that.
Oh, no. You know what? It just came to my head today.
wow.
tried to...
wow, that's something not to forget about.
Holy moly.
Well, no,
you
I know. But, you know, I think, you know, I've had so many different things happen in my life. I find that you just have to take
move
it,
on.
Deal with it, and move on. It just, that's the way I have to be. It's just because I can't hang on to that. I have other shit to worry about.
Right. No, it's true.
Yeah.
I'm trying. We had a guest on the show that did the same thing. She said, you know, something, I'm talking to you, and this is the first time I've ever said this out loud. I was like, but that's what happens. That's with conversation. It's great.
So, and that's your way of, I mean, that's your way
of coping
with it. Yeah, and fortunately, you have healthy, you know, self-esteem and healthy perspective on things, but other people, I mean, not that it didn't traumatize you, but other people, it could have, like, totally crushed them.
Mm-hmm. No, understood. I think it was because of the way I was raised, you know, if you broke your arm, you know, suck it up, here's a cast, and you got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
is totally different. I mean, we're talking apples and oranges to mental health compared to physical health, but I think that's the way I was brought up. You have a problem, you deal, and then you move on.
Yeah,
you do. But and I know, like, I see a lot of these women that have been attacked and approached by, you know, Weinstein and Toback and what's his name, Charlie Rose. Some can't deal with it as well as I have or any of us have. You know, they like some of them are still like freaking out from 10, 20, 30 years ago, and that's hard. And then they definitely need therapy, but not, you know, the right kind of therapist. But some can't let go, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, you know, what to say or about that, but, you know, some are more fragile than others, I guess. I don't know.
You know, a mutual friend of mine and Patty's, I'm not going to say her name on the air, is a wonderful violinist, and she's done session work with Alicia Keys. I mean, she's done session work all over the place. Stevie Wonder, she was at Obama's inauguration. She's just a wonderful, wonderful player and a very, very close friend of mine, and Patty's as well. And she was saying to me the other day that we were talking about this. This was a topic of conversation, that she did a recording with Mario Van Peebles, did an album with him years back, and they're all standing there waiting for the picture to be taken. And they take the picture, and during the picture, he grabs her ass.
Ah.
And I said, what the hell did you do? And she said, well, you know, when she got in the car, she told her husband. I said, but why didn't you do it? She goes, it just happened too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but you said nothing? You didn't say, well, look, Mac, what the hell was that about? You know, was that you?
No.
Did you forget to put your hand in your pocket? Why, you know, no. And she and her husband did go back because, you know, it was already too late. He didn't. But he posted the picture on Facebook. And he said, by the way, he was feeling up my wife's ass during this picture.
Wow.
Well, that's enough of a smack in the face. No wonder you don't hear about him anymore.
No, not at all. But that's the thing. But she just...
Well, it's almost like, you know... In a way, he was being opportunistic in a different way. Instead of doing it in a way that was like behind closed doors, he did it in such a way that he wagered. I'm sure he figured that there was no way that she would make a fuss about it or make a scene about it so he could get away with it.
Well, just like George H.W. Bush, now these women are coming forward in a wheelchair. He's pinching
Heinies.
Yes! I said,
that's so
what
crazy.
What the hell is going on
that
in our
so
world?
That is so nuts.
I know,
and she's standing on to the side watching.
It's kind of like an old man thing. I don't know. I have a hard time with that one. I really do.
Yeah, like
is that
old dirty
is
man.
That is he really
yeah.
competent or you know I have I don't know. What do you guys think?
I
don't know
I
about
think
that
it's
one.
The culture. I really feel like it starts and ends with culture.
I think
yeah.
that age doesn't change your character. I think maybe he probably. I mean, he never seemed like the type of guy that would do that.
Right.
But. I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, never, never him. If you said Obama did that, I would say, oh, I'm having a hard time to believe. But
yep.
him, I could see it. And again, he's
really
he's 90. He's 90. It might be that, yeah, his filter is off a little bit, and he's
9,000
yeah.
years old.
But his wife should. If his wife hears of one person saying, you know what, he tweaked me. Stand near him and don't make him do that. That's what I would be
No,
doing.
I heard that she was standing on the side, like, shaking her head and smiling.
See, I would not
I'm
have
sure
that.
She's
yeah.
used to
yeah.
it after all the years.
Well, she's of the boys will be boys
yes,
generation.
Yes,
exactly.
yes, Marav, I was just going to say, it goes back to culture. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he did that his whole life. You
yeah,
know?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure
yeah.
he did.
Yeah.
And that's the shame of it. It's like now even our old president, again, I didn't vote for him, so I don't care, but he's in his wheelchair doing
yeah.
his thing.
Well,
yeah.
So,
no.
This is, we're going to hell in a handbasket with this thing, I think. But this is true. But anyway, before we sign off, Mirav.
Yes.
Social media maven.
Yes.
What do you want to say? When let me ask you this. When people say to you, I don't need social media. What do you say?
We all need social media.
Okay, I knew she was going to say
yeah.
that.
We are branding, you know. We're branding ourselves. We're branding our product. We're all branding. And this day and age, social media is it. And I always say that if you want to promote yourself in some way, shape, or form, you have to be there, because if you're not there, you're
then
air.
You're missing out, right, you're air.
Well, that's a good one, Marav.
That's a good
I
one.
Like that.
Very clever.
That's excellent.
Now, Nancy,
excellent.
I want to
yes.
ask you something. I want to ask
yes.
you, I'm a runner. And I'm saying to you, you know, Nancy, I you know, I'm running a marathon, and I could never get that you know, deep into my muscles. I, you know, I don't want to go for a massage. I want something that I could do in my house. I know I have scar tissue. I want to get rid of adhesions. What do I do?
You're going to buy my Belcore body buffer
That's
when they
my
come
girl.
In.
That's my girl.
When they hopefully will be here in January. But, yeah, so the body buffer will exactly help that. It started when I was a runner. I did many marathons and triathlons, and so it helps with deep tissue massage, muscle soreness, muscle recovery, lactic acid relief, and blood circulation. So it's great for all runners, cyclists, swimmers, tennis players, everybody on the planet. Even people that don't do sports, it's great for circulation and exfoliation.
Wonderful.
So, yes, that's what they will be doing, hopefully, when they come in stock.
Nice.
Well,
thank
I mean,
you.
And the website, I mean, they could just actually, these days, you don't even, you just have to, I think, look up Google Belcore and it bring you right to the website, yeah?
Yes, and it does, we are taking people on our wait list.
Oh, good.
Yes. We have a large wait list, and Jeffrey Saunders is the best, and he's been keeping this list
and
helping me with all the customers. When is it coming in? When is it coming in? But, I'm anxiously waiting.
Very good. And everybody
thank
else,
you very much.
For the holidays, I mean, that's I think that's a great gift to give somebody.
Yeah.
Well,
your life.
Actually,
yeah.
Excellent.
It would be
life.
Great. It would be great if it was here for Christmas. But it
okay.
won't.
Nancy, I'm trying here. Nancy, I'm juggling. Help me.
All right. So new year, new year. New
there
year,
we go.
New
there
you.
Go. New year, new you and body buffer. I love that. I'm in for that. Patricia Martin, you tell me about events that are happening with you.
Well, I have my monthly poetry spoken word series going on called Speakeasy in a new location downtown, which is this fabulous modern art gallery run by this guy, John Nolke, who is not only an incredible visual artist, painting and sculpture and so on, but he also is a wonderful writer, and he loves and admires the, you know, spoken word. So it's been getting more and more traction. It's just been,
great.
And I'm hearing, you know, good things
wonderful
from
things.
People. I was
That's
told
great.
There was this one woman who had never spoken her work out loud before and almost backed out at the last minute. And as a result of sharing in a safe professional environment, she went on to actually record two of her pieces as poems. So that was extremely gratifying to
that's
hear.
That's great. That's
yeah,
great.
I was so pleased.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good. And well, everybody's information will be on our Facebook page tomorrow. And before we go, I want to thank all of you. You've been such a privilege to work with.
Always.
And you are just such a joy to chat monthly with, and we both value each of you so much, and we wish you all a wonderful Thanksgiving and every blessing that you deserve.
We're very thankful
thank
you
to both have you. So much.
Absolutely.
No, we're happy. I'm happy to be a part of this. I love you,
absolutely.
Girls.
And
I highlight
so
highlight
much.
Of the month.
Yes.
Yeah. We have a great time, and we're doing important stuff. And thank you for being on our team, and we love you all. And go out and have a wonderful day, guys, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thank
right.
you.
Take happy care, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
And they are joys.
They are joys,
really all
are.
Of them, every one of them. And they bring such wonderful things to the table. And who else is a joy? Jeffrey Saunders. Let me tell you something. He is the first line of taking care of Nancy. He does her PR. He does everything. He is the one that our team, New Masters Media, John Pietaro, they both volley stuff back and forth for us on Instagram, on Facebook, and they just do a wonderful job. And Jeffrey is just a really, really, really sweet
guy.
But they
just have to get a better picture of me next time.
You know something, darling?
That picture's terrible.
Let me tell you something, honey, and that's my fault. That's my fault because I have
after
to say
after all
to you,
the pictures.
You know what? Because that's a studio shot. That's
it's
the only
a horrible
one we have.
Picture.
You are so stunning, and I should always put something. She's a lot more stunning than this when I put that picture on.
I look like a statue in that picture.
Well, because you're not smiling, Mama.
I know. I don't like it.
You're not. You're not smiling, sweetie pie.
I know.
But I think we have to get a better studio shot. I think that's what we have
definitely.
To do, and we'll definitely get that up there so that the audience could see how lovely you are in any lighting.
Right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And again,
I just had to say that
Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, and our lovely Mirov, and they just and Winter Gabriel when she's here with us, and she's a new aunt, and congratulations.
Congrats.
You are listening to a beautiful, beautiful nephew named Hunter, just a gorgeous, gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
gorgeous young man, and he looks like he's going to be quite a stunner when he grows up. And I think that's it. That's the show.
That's it.
And I'd like to thank my lovely co-host, who I'm always thankful for, who sits to my left. And always close to my heart, who has been doing this with me for the past 5 years and makes it a joy to show up in the studio and have these wonderful conversations.
I feel the same way.
So
thank
I love you.
You
and I'm thank you, thankful
I'm
for
thankful
you.
I'm thankful for you too.
And that's our show. And everybody go out, make it a wonderful Thanksgiving. Give thanks for the right things. Give thanks for the things that you have, not for worrying about the things that you want.
Exactly.
Have a great day. Have a happy holiday. And
live for the moment.
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.